They compete hard on the field and play to win. But in real life, they serve a greater purpose.
It's more than a game.
Welcome to Faith on the Field show with hosts Rob Motti, Doug Horton, and Pastor Kyle Horner on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
And welcome to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And I hope everyone and you guys had a blessed Thanksgiving. And remember to always give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, right? He
Amen.
Is good. His love endures forever. It is, guys, it's Christmas season.
Yeah, it is.
And that's my favorite time of the year. And before we celebrate the birth of Jesus, I didn't know this until a couple weeks ago. We all have, like, birthdays 5 and 10 days apart.
It's true.
Doug, you're coming up in 3 days, right?
Thursday
is your birthday.
The 30th, November 30th, yep.
And then mine is next Tuesday, I believe. I try not to pay attention to my birthday.
Let's go over dates. Mine's November 30th.
Mine's December 5th, yeah, December 5th. And then Pastor Kyle?
Yeah, mine's December 15th.
December 15th.
There we go.
Yeah, and then
so,
Jesus,
yeah, 5
the
and
25th.
And
look, see? Good people born in December. We will adopt you, like, into December.
I was going to say, this isn't going right.
It's not your fault.
You could have waited a couple. I see Doug's always impatient.
He's always early. No, Doug's always early.
I don't know about that. But
he's always impatient. Wants to jump out there.
It's after Thanksgiving before Christmas, so it's the portal, right?
Best time of year. My Christmas decorations are up. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on, all right? I got my lights up.
Ours are up.
Yours are up. Got the lights up. I saw Pastor Kyle's
mine
house.
Definitely look, are up.
Did you do that yourself? You
get my wife and I, yeah. We do it every year.
Yeah? Well, that's impressive.
Lights on Main is fantastic.
Man, that's impressive.
When you have them up?
We worked all day Wednesday and then all day Friday and Saturday morning.
Well, we all attend Lights on Main in Mullica Hill, right? So we were all there, kind of hanging out.
It was beautiful. There was almost 10,000 people there.
Is that right?
That's what they said. Yeah, crazy.
The whole South Jersey was there.
It was a beautiful night, and everybody just went out, walked the whole street of Main Street in Mullica Hill.
Yeah,
my feet were getting cold though by the end of the night.
Yeah, oh, jeez. Are you serious?
I went back and saw Rob at, not to just kind of talk about it. I saw Rob at Harrison House Diner on the way. Going back.
And then Doug lifts up Lucy, his adorable, most precious baby girl, right? Lifts her up into the window to next to where Remy's sitting. So Remy turns around and sees this baby, this beautiful baby. And she's startled because she's like 17 feet in the air or whatever it is.
Seven. I had her up pretty high. You put her right up against
that's
the window
safe.
And then banged on the window.
That's good.
Remy dove back.
Did Chris yell at you for that, though?
No, she thought it was hilarious.
Did she really?
Yeah, she thought it was hilarious.
Yeah,
so
I probably, Remy would have tore me up if I did that.
Well, she saw Remy jump. I couldn't see because I was holding Lucy up, but she thought it was hilarious. So it was nice to see everybody out there.
It was really good,
We all got together on a non-radio show night. So
it was always good. And I love it. I love that we get to do community, because that's actually what life's about. Hey, living life. We say it all the time on Sunday. You know, church isn't about a Sunday morning event. It's about learning to live life well together and that's what that is.
I love that, man. I love that attitude.
Yeah, you know? I just thought it was kind of funny. I had to wait in line to get to Kyle. You know, I get up. He's like, it was almost like there's a line for Santa Claus and there's a line for Kyle. So there's people just walking up. Yeah.
Well, there were all sorts of people taking pictures at my house. I didn't know.
I had to
wait in line to get into my door. It was crazy. So
I bet he is more popular than
it was
Santa.
Nuts.
It's
just
awesome.
I know we had a great Thanksgiving, and I know I'm sure so many of our listeners did as well. I know, Rob, you had an interesting week and some things that challenged that Thanksgiving spirit kind of in your life.
Yeah. You know, and it's fun that we started off a little bit lighthearted, because we're going to get a little serious. We're going to get a little heavy tonight, and we're going to dive into a topic that I think really needs to be addressed at some point. And it's been one that has been heavy on my heart, and I've been thinking about it, and I said, this is the right time. And sometimes things happen, and it's funny, because after this incident, Doug says, well, there's God telling you it's time to do that episode.
Exactly.
So our guest tonight is going to be Chicago Bears linebacker Sam Acho, and as I said, our topic's going to be a heavy one. We're going to address a serious issue that is very prevalent in society, no matter how much some people may want to ignore it. Racism and bigotry, it's not a figment of our imagination. It's real, and we're going to dive in, and we're going to tackle it, because that's what we do. And we're going to see how Christians handle it, and we want to talk about how we react when we face it. So what I want to do, guys, and I appreciate the setup, Pastor Kyle, because I'm going to share a story last week, and I believe it was Wednesday night. It's funny because the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving is the biggest party night of the year.
Yeah.
And it used to always be my favorite night because I used to party like a rock star, right? So it used to be the – and now I find myself the night before Thanksgiving trying to sneak in a workout and then going home and hanging out with my daughters and my wife on the couch. You know, that's how you change and develop and mature in life. So – I'm working out at the gym, and there's a guy that I see quite often, and I think we all have those people at the gym, people that you don't really know their name, but they know who you are maybe, and he always chats me up about sports, and I try not to be rude to people, but when I'm at the gym, I just want to work out. I want to get my workout in. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You want to get your workout in.
You're trying to get in, get out. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Get in, get out, and go. And I'm like, I'm so, like, I follow like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and I'm like, all right, finish this rep. Got to get to the next one. Got to do this one. And here's this dude wants to talk about the Eagles. You know, and it's cool. I talk to him, I do all that, but I thought I was home free, right? I thought I was done the conversation, and that was it. I was good to go. And then I end up, I'm doing an exercise, and I'm doing multiple reps, and he's right there next to me on the bench right next to me with his buddy. And they're engaged in this conversation that I wasn't involved in, but they're 2 feet away from me, so I can hear it. And they're talking about people who own gas stations. Mm. They're talking about people who own 7-Elevens, Dunkin' Donuts, they're talking about immigration, so you guys kind of know where this is going to go, right?
Yep.
You kind of know where it's going to go. So the one guy, the guy who is quote-unquote my buddy because he talks to me all the time, I still don't know his name, he's using racist terms to discuss the people who own these establishments. According to him, they fit into this category. They're either this, that, mm-hmm. or the other.
Yep.
So it was pretty offensive, and I was embarrassed for them, and I'm next to him, and I'm like, I don't want to hear this anymore. So I figured I could shut this conversation down in 2 seconds. So I said, to the dude, listen, hey, I bet you didn't know this. I bet you didn't know I speak fluent Arabic. And he was like, what? He was shocked. He was blown away. And he assumed, like most people assume, that I'm Italian because I grew up in South Philly. Mm-hmm. I talk with my hands a lot, right? Yeah. If you're watching me on Facebook a lot, you know, I got a vowel at the end of my last name, even though it's spelled funny. So most people assume that I'm Italian. So it's exactly what he was like, I thought you were Italian. I said, no, my parents are Middle Eastern. They're from Palestine. And, you know, my mom was born in Jordan, my dad was born in Palestine, and then her dad was in the army, and then they moved to Palestine as well. And I said, yeah, that's what I am. I'm Palestinian, and I speak fluent Arabic. And he goes, oh, you're a sand N-word too.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, I wasn't blown away because it wasn't the first time I heard this. It wasn't the first time I heard it. It definitely won't be the last time. And you know, I mean, and it wasn't. And here's the sad part about this. It wasn't the first time I heard it from someone who's a church going person. Because I know this guy talks about, you know, he knows what I do here, and he talks about going to church, and he talks about going to mass. So I grew up in South Philly, as I've said many times, and I went to Catholic school, and that's the first time I heard that term referred to me. And I've heard plenty of vicious comments growing up. So anyway, at that point, I could have punched him in the face or responded with a few expletives. But several years ago, after I had come to Christ and when Remy and I had started out on reality television, and when I chose to be a bold Christian and, as I say, become a disciple for Christ, I decided, you know, as an ambassador for Christ, I never want to respond to criticism of any kind in an un-Christ-like manner, no matter how nasty the comments are. And guys, I mean, I've heard it from people who think reality TV is real, and they've come after me, and they've come after Remy, and some of these people are despicable enough that they have come after my daughters and said nasty, negative things about the girls.
There's a line there.
Yeah.
There's a line. Yeah.
And the closest I ever came to responding nasty is when that happened, when they say stuff negative about my girls. I mean, there was a guy who tweeted out, it was my favorite one ever, he said to Remy, I want to rip your hair out and puke in your face.
Oh.
So I had decided, though, before all that, when I was like, I'm never going to respond to these people in a negative way. I'm only going to respond to them in a positive manner, in a biblical way sometimes. I'll send them a Bible verse. I'll say, God bless you. I'll shoot them a Proverbs 3:5-6 or a Romans 8:28 or Matthew 5:22, where if you call someone fool or if you call them idiot or whatever, yeah, just so maybe they read it, because when I read Matthew 5:22, it scared me to death.
No, it's a scary verse.
And then,
it's a scary verse.
So I try and take it like where if someone is so miserable with their existence, right, that poking fun at me or anyone that I know is going to make, you know, making disgusting comments is going to make them feel better about themselves, and it's going to give them a glimmer of hope or a glimmer of happiness. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And you know, it's not just reality TV people who've come after me. I've heard it from for some of my sports opinions, some of my sports views, people attack me. Some of my Hall of Fame voting, people like Major League Baseball Hall of Fame voting. I've gotten death threats from Houston fans when I didn't vote Biggio the 1 year for that. As recently as last couple weeks, where I did a story about Christian athletes and how they, Eric Reed from the San Francisco 49ers, who was friends with Colin Kaepernick, former teammate with Colin Kaepernick, kneels for the anthem and talked about it from the view of what would Jesus do in this situation. And I did that story, and I interviewed Ben Watson as well and Malcolm Jenkins and a few other guys. I've gotten horrific comments from people like that as well. But to me, it's never about what these people are saying to me. It's about how I react and how I respond. So my response to this racist dude, this racist buddy of mine at the gym who thinks he's friends with me because he talks to me about sports all the time, my response to him when he called me the sand N-word was, yes, and Jesus died for me too. And that was it. It was plain and simple, because God doesn't care about the color of our skin or where we come from. He sent his son Jesus to take that cross for me, for you, no matter if you're red, orange, white, pink, blue, whatever it is. And that's how my response was. And I challenge anyone to ever go back and look at any of my social media and see anything that I've said to any human being that's negative.
So how did he respond to that?
He just shook it off like it was no big thing. Like, He didn't think it was offensive.
And that was the end of the conversation.
At that point, I was like, you know what? I'm one set short here. You know, I still had to do my final final set. And I was like, I'll just take it somewhere else. You know, I went and did something. And at that point, I was like, I probably shouldn't be doing buys anyway because you told me not to because of my elbow. Yeah, I was like, let me just go somewhere else. But that was it. He never realized that that was offensive, I don't think. And then when I put it out on social media, you know what's funny? It's because a lot of people will say nice things. But there are still some people who want to attempt to kind of like justify what this guy said to me, as if there's any justification whatsoever for any racist term. Like, there isn't any. Yeah. Whether it's calling somebody the sand N-word, the N-word, dot H, whatever there's no justification for it.
Yeah.
It's horrible. So, you know, that's the way I choose to look at these things. And I hope that we as Christians can figure out a way to handle it around us.
You know, Rob, it's such an attempt because people struggle so much with value and identity and self-worth. The reason that those things hit so that we gravitate to those kind of words is an attempt to make ourselves feel better and be better than someone else. It's really puffing ourselves up at the expense of someone else. And that's the heartbeat of it. That's why it doesn't seem strange to them. It's that's the sad part of this, is that even in our culture, things don't stand out as being offensive, because it's, what's the big deal? I mean, what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Well, it's the big deal because it's actually trying to make yourself look better at the expense of someone else, and extremely hurtful. With the tongue is that gives the power of life and death.
It's sad because I grew up, as I said, I grew up in the Catholic school, and there are a lot of times where I would hear these things from people who now like want to be friends with me. You know what I mean? And I'm friends with everybody. I don't hold grudges against people. Yep. I couldn't even tell you who specifically said what to me at what point. I don't care if you want to come up to me and talk to me about the Eagles or whatever. But here's something that a lot of people don't know. I don't even know if you guys know. My name isn't Rob. Ryan knows, and my name's not Rob. My name on my birth certificate, on my license, is spelled R-A-B-E. It's not even pronounced like broccoli, Rob. It's an Arabic word for springtime, like spring, summer, fall, winter. My dad named me after spring, and R-A-B-E is pronounced Rabia. No one can say that. And, you know, there's some people who can figure it out. So my last name isn't Mahdi.
Right.
My last name is Mahdi. It's not Mahdi. So I got tired of growing up in school, hearing teachers butcher my name, kids butcher my name, then the inevitable questions of what are you? And then, oh, you're a sand N. And I was like, you know what? When I got to high school, I just started using Rob, R-O-B. And because I grew up in South Philly, and because I have all these little idiosyncrasies of most Italians around me, I just became an honorary Italian. And there are so many people in my life who don't know that I am not. And it kind of – sometimes I feel like a sellout to my people.
Well, you did tell me the other day you like meatballs better than falafel. So I'm just saying.
And I to this day, right? Like for Thanksgiving, I want lasagna or a pasta with my turkey. I don't want grape leaves or anything else. So I mean, that's how I grew up. Italian food's my favorite thing. So I do feel kind of like I am an honorary, but I'm not.
When I first met you, that was the way that I perceived you. You said you're from South Philly, and so I figured you were an Italian from South Philly. And then you told me of your heritage and your background, and it shocked me. You know, it was shocking at that point because it's not the way I viewed you. I just didn't ever think that was going to be the case, but it doesn't change my opinion about you. So I guess the other question is, when you've told, in this case of the story that just happened, has that been something that's happened in your life over a period of time where you actually have revealed that to people? Because it took a little bit. It's nothing that came up as a big deal, but you just kind of mentioned it, saying, hey, you know what, I'm not Italian.
Yeah, I usually will reveal it to people in those settings where they're making fun of that race, when they're calling us.
Which we weren't doing, by the way.
Right,
that wasn't
right.
A conversation.
No. When they're calling us all terrorists, because I got tired of hearing that term, too. Yeah. Oh, you're a terrorist, right? Yeah. When they're doing that, when they're throwing that generalization for all people in the Middle East and just assume that I'm not one of those people, I always drop a, hey, by the way, I speak fluent Arabic.
You're talking about me, right?
Like, you're talking about my people. I'm
you
like,
should just start speaking Arabic to them. That's it. Totally mess them up.
I'm like, Jesus is my cousin. So, you can say whatever you want about me. It's all good.
But have you seen that where people, just in normal conversation, have changed their view? Because it didn't really change. It didn't change our friendship or our relationship at all. But have you seen that in the past that's happened? Not in a comedic sort of sense of where you're trying to put somebody in their place when they're doing that, but just normal conversation. Have they looked at you different?
Professionally.
Yeah?
It's happened professionally, and I'm not going to get into it on this show.
Sure.
But there are some things that I love my job and I love my company and where I am, and I have never had a problem with them whatsoever. And that's my full-time thing, and I'm a writer for AP, and I enjoy it, and I love being there. But I've always done things, different side things on the job. I've done different radio, I've done different TV, different things like that. There's a particular situation where I no longer was affiliated with a certain place anymore. It's mind-blowing to me that in 2017 and at this time, it was probably since 2015 maybe, 2014. It's mind-blowing to me that people can be that way. But, I always look at it's fine with me. I don't care if people are going to hold my heritage against me, that there's something wrong with them. And, what I want to do after we come back and we listen to Sam Acho, I want, because we talked a whole lot about my situation and my incident. I want to talk to you guys about how, as Christians, when you see that, because it's different for you, because you guys probably don't feel that sense of racism or bigotry directed towards you, but you're in the community where you see it towards other people. So I want to talk about how, as a Christian, how your responsibility is when you see it to address it, and also the response, your response as if you are a minority, how you should handle it, because a lot of people may not handle it the way I did that particular time. And who knows, maybe 10 years from now, I may feel differently about it and I may want to punch that guy in the face. I sure hope not. I sure hope that I continue to grow and mature in my faith, that I always want to be that ambassador for Christ.
Absolutely.
So we'll do that. When we come back, we'll listen to Sam Acho from the Chicago Bears because he was very insightful about this topic, and then we'll tackle it ourselves. You are listening to Faith on the Field Show presented by Eastern University on 610 Sports ESPN Radio.
If you shake hands with difference makers around the world, you'll meet alumni from Eastern University in every profession. Our courageous graduates are CEOs, mayors, social entrepreneurs, and Pennsylvania Teacher of the Year finalists. What makes the difference? Eastern alums have been shaped by a powerful combination of academic excellence, Christian values, and professors who truly care. Join our influential community online in Center City or on the main line. Visit eastern.edu/courage.
MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists is a privately owned group located in Turnersville and Linwood, New Jersey. Online, they are MedCorpUSA.com. Dr. Sylvie and his staff can diagnose and treat disorders of the lungs, asthma, especially asthma caused by allergies, COPD, chronic bronchitis, pneumonia, pulmonary hypertension, shortness of breath, and chronic cough. They also treat sleep problems like restless leg syndrome and sleep apnea. Treating sleep apnea has become a huge part of their practice. They have 10 home sleep tests that test for sleep apnea. Testing is recommended if some of the following pertain to you. Someone has told you that you stop breathing while you sleep. You snore loudly and frequently. You wake up choking or gasping. You wake up with headaches, sore throat, or dry mouth. You experience insomnia, unrefreshing sleep, daytime sleepiness or fatigue, difficulty concentrating, memory loss, irritability. You are drowsy while you are driving. You are frequently waking up to use a bathroom. You have a large neck size, 17 inches for men and 16 inches for women. You have a family history of sleep apnea. Call MedCorp's Asthma and Pulmonary Specialists at 856-352-6572. That's for their Turnersville office, and 609-788-8953 for their Linwood office.
Hi, I'm Rob Motti. Every day you listen to the news, but how is that news affecting your financial world? Will an upswing in Asia affect your retirement investments? Will a drought halfway around the world dry up your income? You might not feel the immediate effects of every world event, but you do need to keep a close eye on your finances in these times of change. Rick Santella can help you do that.
Thanks, Rob. Hi, I'm Rick Santella, a financial advisor with Morgan Stanley. I'm right here in the Philadelphia region, and I have more than 35 years of experience and the resources to help you keep moving forward. Asset allocation, retirement planning, wealth management, these are all areas I can help you stay on top of.
To make an appointment with Rick, call 215-854-6018. That's 215-854-6018. Meeting with Rick Santella could be the most important event of your day.
Asset allocation does not guarantee a profit or protect against a loss. Investments and services offered through Morgan Stanley Smith Barney, LLC, member SIPC.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field Show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. I'm Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. And we had a really interesting conversation off the air that we'll continue on the air. We're talking about racism. We're talking about bigotry. We should be also clarifying prejudice and bias as well, Pastor Kyle. And you know what? Let's do that now before we get to the interview. So clarify that.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about these things, we always have to make sure that we clarify terminology so that when we talk about solutions, we can actually focus on the solution that that'll hit that issue. Racism is using institutional power to oppress a certain group of people. That institutional power can be geopolitical. It can be corporate, in a corporate setting, as Rob, you were talking about just a little bit earlier in your personal experience. It can be economic, but it requires there to be true power outside of individuals to bring true oppression. And so we've seen this, I've seen this in the global world. Apartheid is one of those things. Mm-hmm. In the South.
Civil War era.
Yeah, absolutely. True racist institutional power. Bias and prejudice is something that we all have. We all have bias. And bias is, and prejudice is looking favorably on one group of people or disfavorably on another group of people based on your experiences, based on your common shared beliefs or shared experiences. Mm-hmm. If you grew up having bad experiences with one certain group of ethnicity, you're going to be biased towards that. We have bias though as well. I know Danielle, my wife, teases me all the time. I will always stick up for an athlete. I will always stick up for that. I will give them the benefit of the doubt every single time.
Yeah, and I get that.
That's a bias, right? So that's not a bad bias from my perspective, right?
And on the opposite side, as a media guy, you would expect me to stick up from the media, but being part of that inner circle,
yes,
and knowing what goes on and just the way they like to be negative, I always stick up for the athlete too.
Yeah, so I mean, I just think when we talk about these things, we have to make sure that we understand everybody has certain prejudice and bias. So your associate at the gym, he had prejudice, mm-hmm, that was based out of maybe ignorance or based out of experience or just based out of cultural understandings, right, but he doesn't have the power to be racist.
Right.
So that's where, and that's where the, well, that's where these two things,
I didn't tell you what he does for a living.
Well, I was just going to say, now that may be a different issue when we start talking about,
I'm going to write this down and you tell me
racism,
if it's different, because I don't want to say it on the air. Can you see it?
I can. I will say this. I will
based
say
on what he does for a living.
That profession, no, and we would never, that profession has the opportunity to be influenced by racism, and because of the position they're
in. To be influenced by.
Yes.
Right.
To be able to be influenced by it, and utilize that influence in such a way that brings a negative corporate expression into a community.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's generalizing a whole group of people.
Absolutely,
and
right. And that's why we can never say, right, that. That's why when we say this group of people are racists.
Right.
Well, we always need to be careful with any generalization because it marginalizes people.
Yeah.
So the reason I bring that out, Rob, is only so that when we talk about solutions, we can actually talk about what are, because if there's something that we're facing with a racist institution, then we need to be able to address that at a larger level. You being able to do what Jesus said in Matthew 5:39, to turn the other cheek in your personal experience with prejudice, that is a Christian response to a personal experience with bias or prejudice. But there may be a different expression we as Christians need to take when there's institutional oppression of people.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Especially, and the key word that I take from all that you said, Kyle, which was great, was just the ignorance.
Absolutely,
not understanding where a person's coming from, what their background is. And I think, let's just talk about athletes, that you'll stereotype an athlete in one way. Oh, they're just greedy people that want,
absolutely,
all this money, and they don't care about any other stuff. And that's not true. And you understand the heart of what the athlete's going through. You understand the work that they're going,
absolutely,
through. And sure, they all come from different backgrounds, but people are ignorant about, they just see the contracts and people holding out for millions
of
dollars.
Dumb jocks, right?
Exactly.
We hear that all the time, dumb jocks. Yeah. And yet, you know, we were talking before the show, Ryan Fitzpatrick. Here he is,
Harvard grad?
And he's, you know, there are Rhodes Scholars out there. Yeah. There are, you know, yes, there are people who struggle and there are people who succeed, just like there are in every aspect of life.
You talk about bias, and you said, Pastor Kyle, how we all have some sort of biases, right?
Absolutely.
And here is one that I kind of notice sometimes, not among us, but in the community, is a Christian bias. You will see a lot of Christians have a bias towards other Christians and therefore not wanting to be part of welcoming other people.
Absolutely.
Or welcoming anyone that they feel is sinful.
Absolutely.
Or doesn't belong. Because, and to me, and this is a show that we could do, an entirely different show, is the heart of Jesus is to welcome everybody.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus' prayer, the last prayer Jesus really prays in earnest in John 17, as he's in the garden before he gets taken, arrested and taken to the cross, is, God, make them one as you and I are one. He continues to pray for unity. Why does the Son of God pray for unity as one of the last things he does? Because he understands human nature is to be selfish. Human nature is to be self-glorifying. Mm. Human nature is take the glory rather than give the glory, right? That's what Adam and Eve did. They took glory rather than give glory. So that's in the very fabric of the DNA of racism, of prejudice, of bias, is this, I'm going to take glory at the expense of someone else. I just really feel like one of the things that I've learned, and you said it really well, Doug, we talk about a lot, hearing someone's story, but I think the problem is that we give more value to the footprint of a person than the fingerprint of God on that person. And so what I mean by that is, like, we give much more value to how they act, where they from, how they dress,
their title,
what they've done, exactly, yeah, the footprint of the impact that they make on this on this creation, mm-hmm, rather than the fingerprint of the creator that's on that person. So it doesn't really matter what socioeconomic background they have, or religious creed they have, they proclaim, or lifestyle that they live. When you can begin to see the fingerprint of God, the creator, on an individual, you respond differently, because I'm not responding simply to the individual. I'm responding to the glory of my King on that individual. They wear his glory. And I think if we truly can get to that, that understanding, the way that we'll deal with each other is differently. Because the way that I deal with a $1,000 bill is very different than the way I deal with a penny. You know, way I deal with a penny is take it, leave it, it falls on the ground and it rolls under the car, I'm not going after it. If there's a $1,000 bill that falls out of my pocket and blows under the car, I don't care how dirty it's going to get me. Then that's when we see someone as being less valuable because of the footprint of that they're making in the world, rather than the value of the image they carry. We'll treat them differently.
That's beautifully said, Pastor Kyle. And you know, sometimes I find myself as and Doug, you're probably the same way. As Kyle's talking, you're just like sitting there and you're listening and you're taking it all in and you're learning and you're getting educated.
That's why we have Robert Pinkney's on. You know, right. He was on a couple. He's like, preach it, Kyle. Preach it, Kyle.
I love you, Robert.
So, Robert's doing great.
So we've been talking about racism, bigotry, prejudice, bias, and how as Christians we handle it when we see it around us, and how we respond if it's directed at us. And I had an opportunity to chat with Chicago Bears linebacker Sam Acho about this important topic. It was a really quick conversation because they were blown out by the Philadelphia Eagles 31-3 on Sunday. And Sam was nice enough to have a few minutes to talk to me about this. He is one of the – and I covered Sam's brother, Manuel Acho, when he played for the Eagles. And he's a funny guy. He's now an analyst for – I think he's an analyst for ESPN. He was doing something with Chip Kelly, and he tweeted a picture of him and Chip and said, "This guy cut me 5 times before I was 25, and here we
it's
are.
It's true.
And here we are. We're so best funny. Friends right yeah. now." But both of those guys, Emmanuel Acho and Sam Acho, are eloquent, thoughtful, well-spoken athletes, and they are brothers in Christ. So here is that interview with Sam Acho. Sam, tell me, what is the best way for a Christian to address racism and bigotry?
Yeah. Well, the best way is not to ignore it. I think a lot of times Christians get caught up in trying to ignore, act like a problem doesn't exist. I think the best way to address a problem like racism or bigotry, which is big in America and even in other parts of the world, is to address it and realize that you got to almost like evaluate yourself. How do you view people? What are your thoughts about people who look different or act different than you do? And then that's the first part. The second way to do that is just to realize that we're all made in the image of God. At the end of the day, if you're human, you know, you've been created in the image of God. And so if you catch yourself judging someone else or looking down or thinking, hating your brother, then it's like the love of Christ isn't in you. And so the two ways are, one, to address it, don't ignore it. And number two, understand and realize that we are all made in the image of God, black, white, gay, straight, it doesn't matter.
As humans, when we are victims of racism, victims of bigotry, our tendency is to want to react maybe by lashing out, by fighting back, by answering back. But to be able to maintain your testimony, to be able to be to call yourself an ambassador for Christ, it's really difficult. How have you in your life been able to do that?
For me, I've really tried to learn how to be obedient to the Spirit of God, be obedient to the Lord, right? So I'm reading Scripture, and I look at what the Bible says about trials or struggles. So the Bible says about turn to the other cheek. What the Bible says about, Jesus, he says, "Justice is mine, says the Lord, I will repay." So when I want to lash back at somebody, and I know I can get them good, I got to remember, okay, justice is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. I got to remember self-control. God didn't give a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. So even on Twitter or social media or in life, people say something and you want to lash out so bad. But sometimes you got to be able to have some self-control and submit that situation to God and say, "God, how do you want me to handle it?" And then listen.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Oh, definitely. Thank you.
And that was Bears linebacker Sam Acho talking about exactly what we have been addressing tonight, racism, bigotry, how you handle that. And he said the best way to address it is to realize and evaluate yourself and what are your thoughts. And I love what he said. We're all made in the image of God. So if you catch yourself hating your brother, then the love of Christ isn't in you. So if you are like that guy who called me the sand N-word, but on Christmas you're going to midnight mass and on Easter you're going to church and you're getting the palms on Palm Sunday, yet you have that feeling in your heart towards people of different ethnicities, I think you might want to evaluate if Christ is in you. And you know what? I hope he's listening tonight. So, and you know what? And we talked about ignorance a lot. A lot of times people will just like lump. If I tell them I'm Palestinian, they think I'm Pakistani. If I tell, you're all the same. We're all this. They think we're all the same. It doesn't matter. Ignorance is amazing.
We are completely geocentric. We are completely a country that is isolated. We know nothing of the world. You can put a world map up there and they could have, most Americans couldn't pick out six countries. It's just true. So yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. Everybody who has a different color skin, like, olive skin, they are all whatever.
Yeah, hopefully when you make a mistake where you put somebody in the wrong category, when I was working at high school, we had a lot of, Korean kids that would come,
Asians get that a lot.
When you're looking, to determine the difference if you're Chinese, Japanese, Korean,
Vietnamese,
big deal. Filipino. To be honest with you, I didn't understand the difference until I said something to a kid one time, and he's like, "Man, you got it all wrong." And he goes, "You got to be careful." And I was like, "Really?" I was like, "Tell me a little bit more." And we had a great conversation to a kid that's in high school from another country that says, "Listen, there's a lot of major things. This was years ago. There's a lot of major differences, and some people don't get along, right?"
Absolutely.
And I valued that I made a mistake at that point.
Yep.
And in that place was able to apologize.
But you wanted to learn from it.
But I did learn from it. Yeah. But I realized, like, man, that could have gone really bad.
But I think people are very open. I think if it's an honest mistake, I think people are, and then there's
it wasn't an honest mistake. It was an ignorant mistake.
No, I understand.
Out of that,
it was not a malicious mistake. You were not trying to do it maliciously. I think if there's an honest conversation that's willing to happen, I think most people are open to being able to have those kind of conversations. I think when you come at it from a malicious point of view, it becomes much more adversarial.
It's just a lack of sensitivity to the demands that other people are going through, and the cultural issues that surround just the relationships between different countries too.
But Rob, how do we handle this? Because I think one of the things that probably most of our listeners are familiar with is an experience with this one way or the other.
Yeah.
But how do we tackle this from a Christian standpoint? Because right now a lot of the people, many people today are struggling with some of the athletes who are trying to use their platforms to bring attention to social justice issues.
Racist. I saw today that the NFL ratings are down 1 million viewers at this point than they were last season.
Wow.
And that has a lot to do with what you're talking about.
Yeah, no doubt. And whether that's comes from a real perception or a false perception, I think guys are trying to do something. So how do we go about this personally when we have this personal encounter? How do we do it when we see it on a corporate level?
As Sam was saying, you can't ignore it.
Yeah.
You can't ignore it. And he mentions three different, in 2 minute conversation, he drops three Bible verses. Deuteronomy 32:35, "Vengeance belongs to me, says the Lord. I will repay in time. Their foot will slip, for their day of disaster is near." And that's what you really have to hold on to as a Christian is you may want to lash out, right? But God says vengeance is his. Let him handle the punishment. You maintain your testimony. You continue to be like Christ. And as we mentioned earlier, Matthew 5:38, you have heard it said that an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, don't resist an evildoer. On the contrary, if anyone slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. And then another verse that Sam mentioned was 2 Timothy 1:7, and I really love this one because this one can be interpreted in so many different ways, especially when you talk about athletes. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. And in this example that we're talking about now, it's power, love, and self-discipline. Mm. To have that discipline to not lash out and not respond.
You know what's interesting about that text, Rob, which is great? That word self-discipline actually is the Greek word sozophreno, which comes from two Greek words which mean saved and mind. And it's actually self-discipline may be a bad translation. It's actually, hey, we don't have a spirit of fear. Rather, make your responses out of a saved mind, thinking like a saved person, thinking right. like the savior in this response. Mm-hmm. Now, thinking like the savior creates self-discipline and those kind of responses. But it's
this
different.
Is taking it an extra step.
Yeah, because what happens yeah. is there, Rob, is this, is that we're like, oh no, I'm just not going to respond. I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to respond. But then we go home, we have the conversation 80 times in our head. We're not exactly. in our heart. We're sinning against them, right? But uh-huh. but I didn't do it. Rather than saying, wait a minute, what is it inside of me that caused something? Why did I let that in? Why am I not thinking differently about that person? Because Jesus's ultimate command when it comes to personal offense is not about just turning the other cheek. Ultimately, Jesus' command in Matthew is to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
So I know we talk about that turning the other cheek, and we have to remember Jesus is writing that in one of the most oppressive, racist environments in history. The Jewish people were oppressed. They were the least of the least in the Roman Empire. So, you know, these Roman soldiers could oppress people. They could brutalize people. They could molest people without any repercussions. And Jesus is saying, look, if you personally are being slapped by a Roman official, give him the other cheek. If you personally ask him to carry you, the law says he can make you carry his equipment a mile in the desert, in the heat. Mm-hmm. No. Offer to carry it too. All right. So he's not saying this in this utopia of a perfect world. He's saying when you personally face these kind of things, this is the response, because ultimately, the ultimate goal isn't just to do something or not do something. The ultimate goal is to, how do I change to love the person who would hate me the most?
You know, we don't understand those cultural boundaries that happened in biblical times and
Correct.
The hatred that there was between Jews and Gentiles and the Romans and everybody else. But did you hear that there's a new movie that's coming out that it actually is portraying Jesus as if he came in today's culture? And what it would be like.
Oh,
and it's supposed to come out in 2019. I'd
love to see Jesus on Instagram.
Exactly.
That'd
but that's
be
what
awesome.
You're looking at.
That's
you
know,
like,
we're gonna,
like how many likes does he get? You know, Jesus is born. So it's coming out, I think, in 2019.
I'm walking on water.
You know, we have no connections to it. I just heard it the other day, but it really made me think, because we really don't understand what it was like for Mary and Joseph to leave and go to Bethlehem. You know, and
correct.
Have to stay in a manger and, mm-hmm. and all those things. We think of them as nice stories and like, oh, you know, it's all the biblical background that happens there. But like, what was really going on? How hard was it for people?
Mary
to do
Joseph
that?
Had to not only go to Bethlehem, that was for a census that the government was taking, but out of fear from their own people, they had to go and live in a different country. They went and lived in Egypt. Like, we all forget that part of the Christmas story is that, hey, good news, great, Jesus was born, you got to go and go, you're going to be a refugee in another country. You're going mm-hmm. to be a sojourner in a different world because of the bias of people and actually racism of the people in your own people.
And the king wants to kill your kid.
Correct. Right? Herod wants to kill your kid. It's not even Roman. So, you know, ultimately, Jesus is not only experiences bias and prejudice of his own people from the standpoint they turned him in because he was different than what they thought he should be, mm-hmm. Which is bias and prejudice. But he also experiences racism by the oppression, the government, the institutional power of the Roman people who put him to death.
Remy Post, yep, Jesus is an immigrant.
Jesus is an immigrant, which adds to a whole different issue.
Yeah, and Remy's from Egypt, and she's like, most people, she's like, no one really knows that Egypt is in Africa.
That's so true.
I tell her all the time, like, you're African, you know? Your
she
heritage
is absolutely
is,
African.
Heritage.
Yes.
You know, that I have never been able to fill out the white Caucasian, you know, what are you?
Your other.
They don't give you a slot.
We don't have a slot. We don't have Palestinian, Middle Eastern.
Yeah.
We don't have a slot.
We don't have a slot.
We've never had a slot. So you talked about, Pastor Kyle, and this was great, that Jesus doesn't want us to just not respond, but it's about loving your neighbor.
Yeah.
And I think it's how you respond, because if you respond in a positive way, if you don't respond in a negative way, are you showing that, one, you're showing that person some compassion, some
yes.
love, and maybe that person would think to themselves, well, I could be offensive. What is it about that guy or what is it about that woman that makes them not get offended, that makes them take this and answer back with a God bless you or yeah. you know? And I think that's where you're trying to show people the Christ in you.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to the verse you used. I think, Rob, the more that we start to think and see ourselves the way that God sees us, the more that our value comes from who he is and who he made us to be, which is a journey. It's a journey for all of us. I'm 49 and been in ministry for a really long time, and I still struggle with that. I still struggle to get my value from others. And when someone says something derogatory, that I take the ego hit. So I'm not saying that's easy, but the more that I understand who I am and who I've been created to be, the more that I understand other people are broken. They're not bad. They're just broken. And when you can understand the hurt that they've gone through, the brokenness that's in them, the disappointment in their own life that must drive them to this point, the lack of them understanding who they are in Jesus, it changes. Now I can have compassion on them, and that's what drove Jesus constantly. I challenged our Bible college students the other day. Just about, you know, we always talk about loving your enemies. And when I say that, people think about the person who made fun of me in school or the bully or whatever, the person who didn't like my post on Instagram. Yeah. but when we look at it, can you learn to love an ISIS member? And that's difficult because of the bias that we have and the prejudice and the hurt and the experience and all those things. But loving your enemy isn't just loving someone who you don't like. It's really recognizing that there is a image of God in that person that is so broken and that they are so missing, the light of the light in the midst of their own darkness. And I remember what that darkness was like in my life. Mm-hmm. And the more that I forget what that darkness was like in my life, the more I look down on people who live in that darkness.
What frustrates me a lot of times is when Christians who may not, I always feel like it is your duty, it is your responsibility, if you are professing yourself to be a Christian, to have compassion and concern and care for everyone in the world. And if you are a Christian person who has not been oppressed, who has not been racially profiled, who hasn't faced racism or bigotry, and you pretend that it doesn't exist, that frustrates me a lot.
Absolutely.
That's real. I find that to be really frustrating. And that's kind of why, you know, we talked about this, touched on it a little bit, and we're not going to get into it, but the anthem protest, and you hear a lot of people who jump on the players and make it about a flag when it's really not about a flag, you know, and they want to be offended for a reason that's not really the reason, but that's another conversation for another show. Before we hit the break, I want to tell everybody, Habitat for Humanity Philadelphia is on a mission to transform lives and our city by building and repairing homes in partnership with families in need and by uniting all Philadelphians around the cause of affordable housing. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, hashtag Giving Tuesday, a global day of charitable giving. Since Habitat is where the heart is, Habitat Philly is bringing the affordable housing cause to the heart of the city. They will frame a home outside of 1515 Market Street in the shadow of City Hall to support their work towards a city where everyone has a decent place to live. Donate online tomorrow at HabitatPhiladelphia.org. To find and give to your local Habitat on Giving Tuesday, you can search by zip code at Habitat.org. You are listening to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports, ESPN Radio.
Dan Higgins Wood Flooring is the number one retailer of wood flooring in South Jersey. They have the best and most popular brands, including Bruce, Armstrong, Mirage, Johnson, Mercier, and more. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring has better pricing and service for flooring than the big box stores. Plus, you would be supporting a local business in the community since 1985. Dan Higgins Wood Flooring provides support for your do-it-yourself project, including expert advice and free equipment rental. Contractors can bring their customers to Dan Higgins Wood Flooring showrooms in Medford and Sicklerville. Special discounts are available for contractors and builders. They offer free local job site delivery and installation services are also available. Check out their website at danhiggins.com or call Dan Higgins Wood Flooring at 609-953-7766.
Fall's around the corner, and what a fantastic time with football after church on Sundays and the incredible spectrum of leaves showing off a vibrant display of colors. It's also a perfect time of year to be aware of what your trees are telling you. Did you know that trees can talk to you? Example, if a tree is showing poor growth, it is making you aware that it has impacted soils or it could be suffering from improper planting techniques. Tree Awareness in Swedesboro, New Jersey has a 5-point health and wellness check that can accurately diagnose exactly what your tree is telling you. In this case, it would remedy the situation with root mulching, root invigoration, root pruning, or perhaps even root crown excavation. There's only one way to know for sure what your tree is making you aware of. Call the tree awareness experts at 888-429-TREE. That's 888-429-8733 and check them out at treeawareness.com for the life of your trees.
Hi, I'm Attorney Alfonso Gambone. A criminal charge is something that hopefully you or your family will never have to deal with. This can be one of the most difficult times in a person's life, and it's important to understand your options. Whether it's an illegal gun, drug charge, or a DUI, understanding your options is the first step toward a good outcome. If you are charged with a crime in Pennsylvania, visit my website, gambonelaw.com, or call my office at 215-755-9000. I've not only defended thousands of people just like you, I've written 3 books on criminal defense based on that experience that I want you to have at no cost. These books explain the basics behind criminal charges and offer the most effective defense strategies to fight and win your case. So before we sit down and discuss your criminal problem, get your free books now. Visit GamboneLaw.com or call my office at 215-755-9000.
And welcome back to Faith on the Field show presented by Eastern University, 610 Sports ESPN Radio. Rob Motti with Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner. We are in week 32, right? Week 32. Wow. Ryan, is that right? Week 32? Nice.
No,
I like
beautiful.
It. And if you missed any of our previous episodes, right? If you missed any of the previous episodes, what do you do, Doug?
You go to faithonthefieldshow.com and all our podcasts are listed on there. You could go right live, right to the website there. Also, our Facebook Live posts on our Facebook page and also on iTunes. So search for Faith on the Field Show.
Download, listen, and give us a review, too. We had a nice review last time. I saw a nice review. We appreciate that. Clayton Kershaw, Carson Wentz, Jason Tatum, Mike Schmidt, Adam Wainwright, Coach Dabo Sweeney, Deshaun Watson have been some of the guests that we've had. And we are moving. This is our last Monday Night Live show.
Big news.
Very sad.
This is big news. We are moving to Sundays at noon, so you can listen to us before NFL football for the rest of the NFL season. So we'll be on 610 Sports and on iHeartRadio and TuneIn and however else you choose to listen to us live on noon Sunday, starting this Sunday, December 3rd, with a special Best of Faith on the Field show.
Yeah.
Best of. So we're going to have that. Woo. And then we're going to be recording live on Tuesdays, and you'll be able to still follow us and see us on Facebook Live. Doug, before we go any further, we have mentioned that your mother-in-law, Mrs. Colasidis, has been in hospice, and she did pass away on Thanksgiving Eve on Wednesday night. So we want to send out our prayers and our thoughts to her husband, Bob, your wife, Chris, and Chris's twin sister, Ani, who I met the other day for the first time. And, man, they are.
Yeah, you both got to meet them a little
bit. Yeah, absolutely.
Identical
twins. So cool.
It was nice to get out the other night and just kind of walk around. It's been really tough. And it's been such a quick transition. And, you know, we talk about this issue, and we do have to understand that we're not promised tomorrow.
Absolutely,
you know?
Right.
And life could change at a moment's notice. And how we speak to somebody may be the last time we ever speak to them.
Absolutely.
And
think
what impact are we going to have? And you may not get a chance to apologize and do that again. And listen, we fail at this every single day, you know, and our human nature takes over, our selfishness takes over, our desire to be accepted, whether that's in a Christ-like fashion or by putting other people down in order
Absolutely
to make us feel better about ourselves. But it's empty in that sense, too. So it's just a quick reminder of how precious life is. And, you know, I appreciate my mother-in-law for just the impact she's had on our life. And, you know, when you're on your deathbed and the truth really does come out and what your heart is, and her heart was full of the love of God.
Wow,
and that's what I'm happy about.
Man.
And thankful for. So I appreciate all the prayers that you guys have given us, and just being there for me and my family. And you know, we'll continue to get through. It's not easy. It's really difficult. And so a time of Thanksgiving, it's tough to find that. But
Absolutely.
You know what? We go through that, and you know, it's just another. You take it day by day, just as we've been. So. Yeah.
Pastor Kyle, you wanted to wrap up what we've been talking about tonight, racism, bigotry, how we handle that, prejudice, bias. So give us a nice little wrap up.
Yeah. As we do that, you know, Doug, we just love your family. And I was Danielle reminded me this week that David Cassidy died as well. And his last words, David Cassidy, obviously a teen idol for those of us who grew up.
Was that the Partridge Family?
I'm not going back there. But you,
I don't know who it is.
You
know what it was? It was the Partridge Family? Yeah, yeah. Is that what it was? Okay.
His last words were, so much wasted time. Ooh. His last words, so much wasted time. And it reminds us that every moment counts. And I do want to make sure that we wrap up, Rob, just with bringing this home. Because personally, when we personally face prejudice and bias, we can have that turn the other cheek. We can learn to love our neighbor and love our enemy as well. But corporately, when we see corporate racism, when we see corporate oppression of people on a global or communal scale, we as Christians have a responsibility to do something. You know, Jesus, in his very first sermon in Luke chapter 4, he comes out of the wilderness, and his first thing that he says is, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. The same Spirit that's in him is in us, so that we can bring release to those who are in captivity. We can break the bonds of those who are imprisoned. He's not talking about making a prison break. He's talking about the fact that there are chains on people's lives of oppression that we're, as kingdom men and women, we need to do something about. We see this with Esther, who comes to this place of power and says, how do you know that you did not come to this place for such a time mm-hmm. as this, to utilize your platform to be able to bring positive social change to those who were oppressed? And I believe, Doug, that's actually what some of what the athletes are trying to do, utilize their platform, the platform that they have. And just to put that in perspective just a little bit, a daycare worker or a mechanical shop worker, them standing all day with their fist in the air isn't really going to make any impact because they don't have influence, the media's influence behind them.
Nobody's covering that.
Right. So, these guys who do what they do, what Malcolm does, whether you agree with it or not, during the anthem, he's actually doing something personally to break the chains of people who are in bondage.
And tremendous amount of work.
Right? Isn't that Jesus's parable of the mm-hmm. Good Samaritan? You know, the religious people walked by, the good standing citizens walked by, but then there was someone who was an outcast, somebody who had faced racism on a daily basis from his own people, Samaritan, and he went out at his own expense. It cost him something to make a difference. And Jesus said, that's faith.
The funny thing is that they are doing something by Malcolm raising his hand, too. Like, he's
correct.
Causing awareness.
He's
that.
Yeah. Exactly.
A lot of people
utilizing
stop kneeling or stop putting your hand up in the air and actually do something, but they actually are using that platform, more powerful than a lot of other people have.
So. I agree. And I know where we have to end. I think when we look at this in Egypt, they had to keep working. They had to keep making the bricks for Pharaoh. But Moses had a prophetic voice. Esther had a prophetic voice. There needs to be a prophetic voice that challenges the racist thought processes of an institution.
So whether it's in the gym or it's on the field,
absolutely,
just do something, right? I mean, I think we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Just do something. Just do something, right? And, it could be you. It could be on a big platform. But, go do that this week.
We got to wrap up, guys. And you know what, Doug? We'll talk about Christmas lights when we come back. We got plenty of time to do Christmas lights. We'll do that next show, all right? I want to thank Sam Acho for coming on tonight. I want to thank our sponsors, Eastern University, Tree Awareness, and Paul Beister, who I ran into the other day, and we had a nice conversation. Rick Santella from Morgan Stanley, Dan Higgins Wood Flooring, Dr. Sylvie and MedCore Asthma and Pulmonary Specialist. Thank you to Catalyst Outdoor. Thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for everything he does. Bree Grignano for all her help. Our interns, Dakota Boring and Sal Tortora, who is right there.
Sal's in the house today.
Sal's in the house.
For everything. Our wives, Remy, Chris, and Danielle, and our producer, Ryan Lennox. So for Doug Horton and Pastor Kyle Horner, I am Rabia Amadi, reminding you, make a difference. Be a blessing.